Hey everybody, it is Fitness Candor. I'm Eric Feigl, and I'm joined today with my good friend Ben James. And you heard right, that was us opening a couple of beers. We're sitting at Ben's house on location, and he was kind enough to grab us a couple of brewskis. So, first outdoor podcast, and there might be a chance of rain, but that's okay, because we discussed earlier how storms are afraid of how big Ben is, and we don't care. So thanks, man, for coming, or for letting me come. I'm so used to going to some, you know, for somebody coming to me, I mean. So I met Ben, it's been over 4 or 5 years ago, before Mission 5,
right,
at the workout. So I think if people have heard about the workout before, so they know the backstory about that and Joel and everything else. But we didn't get to know each other really until Mission 5, until you came over.
Right.
You had some stuff going on over there. So, Ben, the reason why I wanted to have you on was because there is a fine line between someone being dedicated and wanting to work out and having motivation, you know, to get up in the morning and or go after work. And there's a fine line between that and just saying, it's after work, it's 8 o'clock, I'm going to go home. Or, you know, it's too early, I got to get the kids up, I'll do it tonight when I get home. And you are consistently at the gym. And I should say that you're a teacher, number one. So you have a full-time job, you're basically a part-time, quote-unquote, part-time personal trainer, right?
Right.
So you get to the gym before anyone. And I get there at 5, 4 days a week. And I'm there at 5:30 on Mondays. So I'm there pretty early, but you're there almost finishing up your workout by that time.
Right.
Or getting close to it, which is super impressive. And everybody kind of comments, like, what time does he get here? And I was like, oh, you know, like 2 o'clock in the morning. He pretty much sleeps in the back. But you have 2 children, you have a wife, full-time job, and you still manage to make it to the gym and take care of your body. You know, not to mention, you know, everything on the outside of strength training and keeping yourself strong. You do other things that we can get into later. But so before we dive into that, that's why I wanted to have you on. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into training and becoming a teacher, and how your life experiences have brought you to being so motivated and dedicated.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, first, thanks for asking me to be on. I'm honored.
You're honored.
I'm officially on the internet, which is
that's the first time ever, probably.
Right. It's kind of a
I don't even know if I'm using your Wi-Fi. I'm probably using a neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Is it 8412?
I don't know. It's unlocked.
I'm kind of an anti social media guy, so this is
a
stretch for me.
It is a stretch.
It's okay.
Everyone will know who
only
you are.
Only for you, buddy.
Thanks.
I moved to Cincinnati in 2003. I moved here to do a strength training internship with Randy Burning on the west side of Cincinnati. So one of my mentors, Randy Burning, moved here to work under him. My plan was to work for Randy for a while, working with high school athletes. He has a lot of connections with college strength and conditioning coaches.
Right.
And so my plan was to move from there and do a GA-ship with a Division I school in strength and conditioning.
And you played baseball in college?
I played baseball in college and then moved into strength and conditioning. I majored in sports management.
Okay.
I got my master's degree in sports management my first time around. That's where I actually met Joel at Brickwise with Randy. We met there first. I then met my wife and Dr. Ted Lambrinidis.
Right.
With Dr. Ted, he owned the workout and Hyde Park Personal Training. I started working with him a bit after Randy and I parted ways after my internship with him. Uh-huh. And then, about the same time I met my wife, Ted got me into some public fitness as well as doing part personal training on the side. to a much greater extent than I am doing now.
What do you mean public fitness?
The name is escaping me.
Like corporate
sports
wellness?
Of all sorts.
Oh, there sports was a of
fitness
all
center.
That I knew that. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
In northern Kentucky.
That's right.
It was a great facility, okay, a great fitness facility. Right. But I was a fitness director there for 3.5 years.
Okay.
And then decided, because my wife is a teacher, she teaches kindergarten, and decided to go down the path of physical education.
Okay.
So I went back to school for 2 years at Northern Kentucky and got my physical education and health education degree.
Okay.
Kept personal training all that time with most of the same clients I have now, who've been, I have the world's best clients.
Yeah.
No offense, Eric.
Well, they're okay.
Yeah, they're fantastic
no,
clients.
They're all awesome. I think we have a pretty good group in general.
Yeah, we have a great group of clients. But they stuck with me through college and getting into education. They've been with me and been flexible with my schedule and working with me in the mornings before school. So like I said, I have probably 3 hours in the morning where I can train clients. Like you mentioned, I have about 3 hours in the morning where I can train clients and then still get to school and,
right.
and work with my kids, work with kids at Mercer Elementary. And, so it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I get to work with adults, and then I get to work with the kids in the for my full time job, and it's just fantastic.
Do you find that maybe the is there a really hard transition? Like there's because it's more mental capacity when you're training or not training when you're with when you're teaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to instill. Whereas sometimes I guess when people show up to the gym, they don't even want to think.
No,
it's like I want to go through the
right.
motions. And,
right.
and so it's like a gear switch probably for you.
Sure.
Too. Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's. Yeah. And there's a language shift too in the way we're speaking with adults and that type of conversation, and then you move to working with children
yeah.
and then I start with sixth graders and I work my way down to first graders.
Oh my
so
gosh.
And you know at the end of my day I'm working with. Baby, they're babies. They're,
oh my gosh.
You know, they're tired and they want to go home. It is a big transition, but it's great and it keeps me on my toes. And
yeah.
I need that, or else I fall asleep.
Well, you go to bed at like 7 anyway, right?
I go to bed.
You're probably going to get your honorary AARP card.
My wife always tells me you're going to make a great old man.
I'm already there.
Get off my lawn. Yeah, I go to bed at about 8:30 at night. 8:30, especially during the school year.
Yeah,
8:30 to 9 o'clock at night, and then I train clients. I try to keep one morning a week open,
mm-hmm.
if I can be here
at home.
I'd love to make it two.
Yeah,
but most weeks it's 1 week that I'm here at home.
Yeah,
and I can get up and run. You know, do a little road work, and then be here to have breakfast with my family, and be here and spend some good quality time with them. Get my girls out of bed, read to them, and that kind of thing. But the other mornings I'm there. I get up between 3 and 3:30, depending on what time my first client is.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So tell us more about the preparation the night before.
Oh.
Because people always think like, well. When by the time you get home, 8 o'clock, it's different for us because, you know, I get to leave clothes at my job. You know, I'm at a gym all day. So I leave clothes there. There's no excuse for me, for most of us. You know, we have clothes. We're going to go. But that's, I hear that a lot. When I get home, I don't feel like packing a bag. I don't feel like packing my lunch. I don't feel like, and I completely understand. Because I get home at 8:30 at night, I'm going to be up at 4 the next day. I'm like, oh, gosh, I gotta, you know, here's the tasks of list I have to do. Just all the way down the line, checking off. And for most people, the average Joe, I imagine, you know, getting home and having kids to have to take care of, having obviously a wife or a husband that you have to show attention to, not to mention everything else that goes along with just general life. So what's that like? The night before, give us like a run through.
Sure. It's a different situation from yours or Joel's or Ryan's or mm-hmm. or Julie's or anybody training downtown at Mission 5, I get home. My school day is over at 4 o'clock, and I most times I come home right after school unless I have a meeting or I have an after school program I'm doing, something like that. So I get home, and it's family time. And I everything else really needs to stop. I wish I could be better about that. But the night before is tough, because I would love to have that time where it's just down to, I can just sit and whatever, look at a wall if I want to. Just,
yeah. Sure. Yeah.
But it's on my, we're on our toes. I mean, we have a 3-year-old now and an almost 1-year-old. And so, they need their mom and they need their mommy and daddy to play with them.
Yeah.
And,
we have a dog. We just lock ours up. Lock the dog up.
Yeah, dog in the closet. So it's pretty much it's dinner preparation and then and playing with the kids, and I you have to go back into Saturday and Sunday to really get the full picture, because during the school year we are a machine around here. I mean, a well-oiled machine. we're preparing for the week. We're making and I'm getting into like some lifestyle stuff here, but
good. Yeah. That's all part of it.
We typically make, this is really specific, a large pot of really healthy soup.
Good.
On Sunday, Saturday or Sunday. And I'll throw this in there. One of the best dates that I have with my wife is after we put our kids to bed on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And we open a bottle of wine and we cook together in the kitchen. We turn on some music,
that's awesome.
Cook together, have a bottle of wine, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's one of my favorite things to do. But then we make a large pot of soup for the week, and then probably two or three nights during the week, we have that. So it relieves some stress on food preparation during the week. And all this is very, very intentional. And this is what I would say about with prioritizing, with exercise, everything has to be intentional.
Right.
If you're winging it, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So much of it comes back to food preparation, especially I don't know the best way to say it. I'm really careful about what our family eats and about what my daughters eat.
Nazi?
I didn't want to use that word. Eric
fine.
Said that.
Whatever. It's on the internet. It's fine.
Nobody
worst
listens
thing,
to
worst
it.
Thing, nobody listens to this. Worst things have been said.
But you have to be intentional. If you're not, you're going to eat
beer.
It's going to be Chipotle every night, or it's going to be whatever every night. And not always that expensive, but it's not the most health. It's not the healthy thing to do for your family. So we eat a lot of time. We make like a large batch of hummus and get some fresh vegetables ready for our lunches.
You make your own hummus?
We do.
That's
yes.
Nice.
Not canned beans either. We cook our own beans. We do it all the way
awesome.
Yeah. So we'll do that. So we have lunches ready for the week. We have at least a couple dinners ready. So and the other dinners we do during the week are simple dinners. I mean, like a baked potato and broccoli and some like black beans and stuff like that. Or, you know, a salad that, you know, and grilled vegetables, something we can do that, you know, put a baked potato in the oven and play with the kids or put some vegetables on the grill and play with the kids. Something like that that we can do that.
Is
it's
that
not
all
super labor
also?
Intensive. Sorry?
Is that all pre-planned also?
It's all pre-planned.
Like Monday we're going to do this.
I get up on Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like a grind, but a part of this is just having two kids. I mean,
sure.
If you're
that's important. That's
if
the whole
you
point.
Are not intentional, it is. It just makes it so much harder.
That's
and so
people,
much more expensive.
That's what people need to hear, I think.
Right. Right.
How do you do this when I have three kids?
You got to plan it out.
I don't completely understand because I don't have that. I have the luxury of working out in the middle of the day and going home to a dog that I take him out back to. I do whatever I want. I mow the yard. That's it. I might water a tree. But a lot of people are in your exact same situation and you seem to handle it so well. So don't think anything is, you know, too. People need to hear this.
Yeah,
people
tedious.
Need to hear about it. Yeah,
that's the
not,
word you're looking for.
It's not tedious.
It must be planned, and if it's not, it doesn't go well. or else you end up spending a lot of time or a lot of time and a lot of money on things that that you hadn't planned for. Mm-hmm. So we're very intentional about what we do with our food, and that's such a big deal because I pack my breakfast and my lunch every day, and I take that to work. I take that to the gym. I have a cooler in the car. I threw it in the car, and then I, when I get to school, I throw it in my little fridge in my office. But it's never, you know, flying by the seat of our pants. It's okay. It's really intentional what we do. But the night before, it's you know, I get my breakfast ready. Okay. I have a little vegan. That's right, vegan protein shake.
I'm turning this thing off right now.
Vegan protein shake after I work out, so I get that ready. You know, I have a little pre-workout snack on my way to the gym, and so I have that all ready. My coffee is ready to go, and the so I have all. It's all set the night before, and actually, and it, part of that is the fact that research shows that we're more productive. The sleep that we get at the how am I going to say this right? You're better to do your work ahead than try to get up in the morning and do it, because we're more productive. Actually, it all comes back to what the sleep that we get at the end of our sleep cycle. So we're better. You're better to to front load, okay, to get this, get everything done the night before and sleep a little longer,
okay,
than to go to bed early and try to get up a little bit earlier to take care of it.
Yeah.
The sleep that we get the end of our sleep cycle before we get up is more important.
Okay.
So that being said, get it done the night before.
Yeah.
And that, and the other thing with that is you're going to hit your snooze
if you have the opportunity
Exactly. It was, it's like, oh, I could get a healthy breakfast. I have my healthy breakfast made,
mm-hmm,
or on my way to school or the gym, I could stop and get a breakfast sandwich at blank fast food restaurant.
It's okay. You can say it on the internet.
Whatever one you want to pick. They're all bad. So if you hit that snooze bar, you go to the fast food restaurant. If you did it the night before, it's already ready. You throw it in the car. So it's very have to do it. In my opinion, it's planning. You have to do it the night before. And it sounds tedious, but whatever. I do it with my wife. She's my best friend. We can do it together.
Don't you think that if someone is – don't you think that you're more likely to not do it if you haven't done it already? So in the morning when you wake up and you're like, well, I'm gonna go to bed early so I get the work and do it. And you're like, oh, my God, I've got so much to – forget it. Click. I'm going to sleep.
Exactly. You'll go back to sleep and you'll take an easy route.
Yeah.
Right? And after you hit that snooze bar, the sleep that you're getting is – you might as well get up. After you hit that snooze bar
– doesn't matter.
That sleep that you're getting is not doing anything for you. It's not helping you. If the last, you know, extra 5, 10, 15 minutes, it's not helping you. It's not restful sleep. It's not doing anything for you. You might as well get up, but you'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
So you need to get that work done the night before. And it's a grind. It can be a grind, but it brings you to a point where you have a little more peace and relaxation. I'd rather do that and have healthy food that's affordable. I mean, I'm a public school teacher and a personal trainer. I don't have money to go out and just, you know, willy-nilly buy meals here and there, and it needs to be intentional. And we live on a budget, and that's how we do it. So
that's part of dedication.
Yeah, it is. It is part
of it. But after a while, it becomes habit, and that habit becomes something it no longer becomes habit. It's just lifestyle.
Sure.
So it kind of molds into what is your lifestyle. Uh-huh. That's not part of your lifestyle. You can make it part of your lifestyle.
Right.
It might take a month, 2 months, 3 months. You might fall off here or there. You might need to sleep in. You might, whatever the case is. But if you, eventually, it can become part of your every day.
And one thing that keeps popping into my head right now that I feel like I should say is that I feel like we, if you're a fan of Michael Pollan, I don't know if are you familiar with Michael Pollan?
Pollan, no.
Pollan. Michael Pollan. Okay. A really popular food. Food critic, author. If you haven't listened to some podcasts of Michael Pollan, I started to have some of these thoughts about how we outsource our lives. And then I started, somebody turned me on to Michael Pollan. I started listening to a lot of podcasts and reading a lot of his articles. And he talks a lot about how we have become a people of outsourcing. Whatever we can find to outsource, we outsource. This is the joys of outdoor.
I think it's like 200 yards away.
They must be looking for Joel Wainscott.
We find ways that we can outsource everything in our lives, and we started looking at ways like what do we outsource that we can start doing ourselves, and a lot of it comes down to food. We outsource our food a lot. We buy prepared food instead of cooking on our own. Instead of doing our yard work, we hire a neighborhood kid or a landscaping business to do our yard.
I'll do that every time.
Simple car maintenance or house cleaning, this kind of stuff. I just feel like we outsource a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But especially with food and with exercise, we can't outsource it. Either you do it or you don't.
I actually have a pill that'll do it.
If you have a pill, yeah, it'd be great if you had that muscle hypertrophizing pill.
Nice.
If you had one of those, it'd be great. But exercise is one of those things we can't outsource. But especially with food preparation, we've really outsourced almost everything to the point where we don't do anything by ourselves, and we don't know what we're putting in our food. And we end up letting big companies make our food for us, and we don't know how they make it or what they put in it. And so I think it's a really important thing, especially for me and my family. Not for everyone, but for us it is. But that is a really one key factor that for us, when you're talking about how do you plan the night before,
mm-hmm.
that's a huge thing.
That is huge.
Yeah.
And what I do, and my wife Melissa has tagged along in this, as soon as I get home, no matter what time it is, I will go upstairs, I lay out my clothes for the next day.
Yeah.
I almost get ready for bed, everything besides brushing my teeth. And then we make the coffee, we set the timer on the coffee, and we kind of do the same thing as far as food goes. We'll make like one big meal, in a crock pot that's for dinner, and cause we usually do like lunch on our own cause we have different schedules that way. But, and then, so she's kind of started to adopt that, night before preparation also, and works out in the morning. Not as early as you, but she gets things done in the morning. Then at night, we have that same set routine. It's part of our lifestyle. That's what we do now. We come home and we get our next day agenda set.
Right.
And that saves us not to save us time. It's our stress level. Your stress level is reduced by, I don't know how many percent. I'm a trainer. Don't
exponentially.
Universes, so much pressure that takes away to get up and know I don't have to make the coffee. I don't have to
gym bags.
What am I going to wear? Yeah, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Most of everything's taken care of. The more you can get done the night before, no matter how tedious or frustrating you can be, that's always the number one thing that I'll tell somebody is like you have to prepare. You have to plan. This has to be, like you said, intentional.
The things that we care about are what we spend our time, our energy, and our money on. These are the things that we care about. I mean, I care about my family. Mm-hmm. I spend my time, energy, and money on my family. I care about our health. Again, I spend my time, energy, and money on my health. Or my church or whatever it is. But the things that we care about, these are the things that we spend our time, energy, and money on.
All right. Sorry about that. Music kicked on when it wasn't supposed to. So, okay, we're back.
Before Eric and his drunken stupor hit the keyboard.
We were talking
about what we use our time. He's not. What we use our time, energy, and money on. I don't want to be on a soapbox, but I feel like we, with our society, and you guys joke with me about this all the time at the gym, and I'm fine with it. Whatever. I'm one of the old guys at the gym, and that's fine. But I've gotten rid of my cell phone.
Yeah, you're a caveman.
It wasn't like the fact that I can't afford a cell phone bill.
Right.
It was a very intentional thing that I got rid of my cell phone. Uh-huh. I didn't want it.
I know.
we don't have cable in our home. We have an antenna that, you know, it's very tasteful. It sits behind our television. We don't have rabbit ears. But we get like three television stations. We've purposefully seek to eliminate technology in our lives so that we can live more simply. So that we can dedicate our time to the things that are more important to us.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people talk about the fact that they don't have time to work out, but then I hear them talking about catching up on their TV shows, or they catch up on the series. They're I've missed, you know, three episodes of Breaking Bad. Well, I'm sorry you don't have time to exercise, but you might want to think about skipping out on your television shows.
Yeah.
Or maybe even consider just, you know, getting rid of one of your four televisions and just go to like one or two. We talk so much about the fact that we're so stressed on time, but we add so many things in our lives that take away time that are not meaningful.
Yeah.
And they don't give back to who we are. And so if I think maybe just a careful audit of the things that are in our lives that consume our time, energy, and money.
Yeah.
If you did a careful audit of those things and what is really giving back to me? What is giving back to me? Is catching up on Downton Abbey giving back to me?
Probably not.
Probably not that much.
Probably not.
But is cooking a meal with your family giving back to you? Yes.
A hand over fist.
Is doing a little simple gardening giving back to you?
Right.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with doing those things.
Moderation.
But it's, like you said, taking an audit. So where do those things fall?
I don't have time to work out, but I have time to. I have time to watch, you know, hours of television.
But working out, though, seems to be one of those things that people will always bump down the list.
Sure.
No matter what.
Sure.
And I want to go back to something you said earlier about how, you know, we can't outsource our fitness. And I kind of think that maybe people do, and that's why personal trainers are here.
When I say we can't outsource our fitness, I mean we can't make somebody actually our muscles.
Okay.
We have to exert muscle. We have to exert our muscles.
Because I just hook up electrodes to my client, right. And I just do bicep curls.
Right. I don't
all
know
day long.
If you can technically hypertrophy, if you can make create muscle hypertrophy by hooking up an electrode.
It's a test.
I don't know if we're there yet.
You know,
it's close.
You don't have a cell phone. You don't know. No, but getting back to it, though, there's nothing wrong with those things. It's where does it fall? And if you have to take an extra step, making this a conscious effort and decision to be, what, one of the top 10, top 5 things that you need to do. It's one of the most important things you can do for yourself. And I tell people that on a daily basis. And people say, man, I've got such a busy day ahead. Well, you have one of the most important things for yourself out of the way.
As far as your physical health and wellness, it's your sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything more important than that. It's, I think it's your sleep.
Nutrition.
And then your nutrition.
And then
your physical exercise.
Yeah, I completely
agree. And
those
in that order. Because, and everything that I've read and heard lately, because of the hormones that are produced while we sleep, specifically leptin and ghrelin. Those two specific.
I'm not familiar with ghrelin. You don't have to get into it right now, but
it's an appetite suppressive hormone.
Okay.
Wish I could remember the two.
I know leptin, though. I'll put it at the end of the podcast.
I don't know if anything is more important than sleep. How sleep affects our mood, our attention to detail. And if anybody is if anything's going to get cut for me, it's my sleep.
Yeah.
Which isn't good.
No.
It's terrible. It affects how I interact with my kids, my kids at school, my clients, my wife, everything. Nothing affects my day more than sleep. Number two is my food. Number three is my exercise.
It makes complete sense.
But I think in that order, sleep is the biggest thing. And Americans are sleep deprived.
You know what really bothers me is, especially being an independent business owner, is when I hear people say, well, you got to grind and hustle to be successful. So we're so focused on this. Stay up all hours of the night. If you need four jobs, you have to do it. What are you talking about?
It's counterproductive.
Do you want to be if you want to be successful at one thing, then make yourself available for that one thing. Get rest and recovery. You know, people want to work out and train with me 4 or 5 days a week, and I say no. How about you start with two? Let your body rest and recover, and you'll perform better. If you don't look, feel, and perform better later, then we'll readjust. It's the same thing with your mental. You have to get that rest and recovery in. Let your mental processes figure itself out and rest and recover, and then you can be better at your daily job or
your
17 jobs that you have or whatever.
Not to mention the fact that science has proven that 2 to 3 days of strength training is optimal.
God, science got me again.
Yeah, every time. I mean, we
when we say that, there's a difference between, you know, not just strength training, going through the motions, but, you know, there's a level of intensity that is involved also. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't have to be this 5, 6, 7 days a week things of cycling, and then I'm going to go running, then I'm going to go strength training. Here's my days. I'm going to do all three in one day. And then,
no, you have to have really intense. I mean, you need to have an intense exercise sessions, and you need to have days where you just go take a walk.
Right.
You just need to walk or spend some time outside with your family doing an activity or something like that. We're moving. We're not sitting on a couch.
Right.
We're not, you know, playing a game on our iPhone. We're actually...
I have an Android. Can I do
that? Yeah, that's fine. Oh, either way. Right, Androids aren't as bad. But, you know, just as spending time with just leisure time,
mm-hmm.
where we're moving, maybe it's not direct physical exercise, but I don't feel like we get enough of that.
It's something that what I like to tell people is, you know, let's exercise so everything that you do during your day, if that improves, everything else improves because of the work that you did in the gym. Does that make sense? So your strength training isn't.
How much better do you feel about yourself after you strength train?
Or, you know, that you can... So you get done with that, your strength training is helping you mow the lawn. Your strength training or, you know, cardiovascular exercise is helping you play with your kids. It's helping you help your grandma up the stairs. That's what that should be about. And if you're not getting the proper rest and the proper exercise combined into one, you're not going to be efficient in any other part of your life. If you're just draining yourself. Sure, people, there are exceptions to the rule. People are going to, you know, just kill themselves and be on top of the game. It happens all the time, I'm sure.
Sure.
But for the majority of people, like going through the situations that you're going through with, you know, you have family, other responsibilities, people to take care of, yourself to take care of, that's really all you need. Is exercise and rest to be able to do what you're doing on a daily basis.
True. When you were talking about the person that kills themselves and they take care of every facet of their lives, seems like it's in place, but they work their tail ends off.
Yeah.
And
3 hours of sleep a night.
It seems like they're getting it all done. You're cheating some aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Some aspect of your life you are cheating.
Yeah.
Whether it's your work life or your family life or the food you eat or the sleep that you get, some aspect of your life is being cheated. Most of the time it's between our family and our work, I feel like. But you can't just go – and as much as we feel like we can, we're these machines that we can just, you know, run ourselves down and go – crazy. We can't.
Yeah. I feel good on 2 hours of
sleep. No, you don't. We need 7 to 8 hours. There might be some weird exception.
Right.
But for most of us, the overwhelming majority of us, you can't run yourself down.
It's that
do
mentalities constantly.
Sure. We have to eliminate something. I feel like we really have to eliminate some things in our lives.
Yeah.
And we have so many things that own us,
and I think everyone knows that. Everyone knows that too. Everyone does, but it's so commonplace now. And we're not going to start harping on this kind of stuff. But it's true, and everybody knows it. So I guess it's just squash that right there. But if you can find a place that that the most important things start to rise to the top, then eventually all of that's gonna, I guess you can say, shine through. I mean, I don't know how else.
Yeah,
I don't want to go off on like a big tangent and sound all.
I feel like we've gone on a societal tangent, but do frequent audits.
Yeah,
that's frequent audits of the things that you're. And Kelly and I, my wife's Kelly. We'll every once in a while with it. Oh, we're starting to spend a little bit too much time. The other night we don't very often. Our television time is very intentional.
Yeah.
If there's a movie we want to see, we'll go to the Red Box and we'll pick out a movie and we'll watch
Red Box.
The Red Box.
Is it the Walmart?
Yeah, the Walmart. And we'll pick out a movie we want and we'll watch it. Or if there's a television show that we really want to watch, which is not very often, we'll watch it. But the other night, Kelly had some like thank you cards she wanted to write. I had some work through the computer. We turned on
Project Runway's on. You really wanted to watch
it. Project Runway's. Ow, I can't pull myself away. No. But we were watching PBS.
Okay.
And there was a show about sea otters that was just intriguing. It was beautiful. This wonderful show about sea otters. And we started watching this show. We're like, oh my gosh. This show is so awesome. These little sea otters are. We're watching this show and it's just fantastic. And the next night we go down, we had something to do in our office in the basement. We did it together, and
you painted.
We were like, hey, I wonder what's on television. And because the night previous we had just turned on the television, we found it just happened to be this show on that we found to be informative and entertaining. And so the night after we went on and we just turned it on and then we found something to watch. And like the next night we did it. And then by the third night we're like, hey, hold on a second.
Now we're just
what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Now we're just killing time. And there's stuff that we could do that's productive, or we could actually talk, or we could read. When's the last time we sat down and read 10 pages of a book?
Boom.
You have to kind of every once in a while just think about your habits. Like, we can get ourselves into a habit of like, I didn't mean to, but we sat down and found something to watch, and it was enjoyable, and so we went to seek that again.
Yeah,
and we actually the night after we did as well, and so just kind of do frequent audits of what you're doing and make sure you're spending your time on what you actually want to spend time on.
Yeah. I think people sometimes might look at that and think, well, you'd be kind of obsessive about that. Isn't that going overboard? If it is important to you and it helps you satisfy your basic needs and improves your quality of life, then I don't think that's asking too much of yourself.
Sure. So you're exactly right.
I kind of think that's, and people might say, well, I think the people that say those kind of things, they maybe want to be consumed by everything. They want those distractions. And okay, fine. But for the most part, what we probably need to do is take that audit and make some adjustments, and that might lead to healthier decisions later on.
Right.
Because the further you get down the road with distractions, and we see it all the time, you know, you get into your 60s, 70s, 80s, you get into retirement age, and you almost come to a point where it's almost too late to turn back. You know, it's going to take significant amount of work, whereas 20, 30 years before, you probably had some things you could have adjusted to make your life later on a little easier to manage, physically, emotionally, mentally. So I think that whole manage your, you know, take
inventory of your life.
Yeah, of your time in your life is probably one of the biggest takeaways.
If it's one word, it's being intentional. And I think even more in a society of where technology is becoming a prevalent part of our daily lives. If you're not very careful about, take a moment and go to a Starbucks and get a cup of coffee.
Often.
And then don't take any technology in with you, and just sit in the corner and watch. And as you're drinking your coffee, just watch people as they, if they don't order a regular cup of coffee, but if they order a specialty drink and they go over and wait, watch what they do.
Yeah.
Watch what they do. They go over and they pull their phone out and they start on their phone. There's somebody standing right next to you.
Yeah.
There's somebody standing right there. How was your day today? Hey, good morning. I mean, just anything. We don't.
Well, I'm texting someone then.
You were texting somebody, but what? Just put your leave your phone in your car, or just I feel like we are. If we don't take very careful inventory of the fact that that technology is becoming a very big part of our daily lives, mm-hmm. it's going to overrun us because we don't do a good job of delineating, like, this is my regular time and this is my, like, okay, technology time. I have a client that I talk about these type of situations mm-hmm. with my client about very commonly.
Yeah.
We almost every session. And she's actually said that her brother, who has two kids, they live in California. In the heart of the tech industry.
Oh yeah.
They have a basket at their front door. They call it their tech basket. And when they come in, they put that back, all technology goes in the basket.
Right.
It's done.
We
put our technology there and we walk away from it, and we're not going to return to it until we need to leave, and if it's for a purpose.
Should there be a technology basket at work, in the car? In the house is great, but like you said, there's that missing link of person to person. We're kind of straying.
Man,
from
we
the,
are. We really are. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
No, it's
we got
I'm there
sea otters.
Let's
and
sea
all
otters
that.
And technology and Google and
for all you guys at the
YouTube.
Gym, they're going to make fun of me for saying that. I love
Whatever.
Sea otters, and
this.
You can
it's
bring
fine.
It all.
They don't listen to this.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we do have to wrap this up, but I do want to read a couple things. Before we started, I looked up the term motivation, because you're an extremely motivated person to be able to get up that early and have a specific reason to do so. You're not doing because you know you have to go to the gym, you have to work out, I have to make my biceps bigger. You don't do it for that. You're doing because you have a family to provide for, you have a job you want to perform well at, you want to be able to, of course, look, feel, perform at your best. Right, there are specific reasons, like you said. So motivation is the driving force that causes the flux from desire to will and life, which that's just from Wikipedia, so
right.
take that with a grain of salt. Dedication is the quality of being dedicated or committed to a task or purpose. So you come back to that word purpose again. And then one that I added is intentional. So done on purpose or deliberately. You're doing it because you meant to do it. It's not an accident that you got up at, you know, whatever time you get up. It's not an accident that you got things ready the night before. It's all a chain reaction.
Sure.
Right? So if you want to add anything to that, especially motivation, since I just realized it's on Wikipedia, feel free.
What am I motivated by? I'm motivated by, I have a family history of cancer.
There you go.
So I started about 2.5 years ago, I started eating vegetarian, with all the links between meat consumption and cancers. So we
Shut
cut
up.
Out cancers. We did not cut out cancers. We cut out meat. Why else do I exercise? So I exercise because I want to keep my body weight manageable. I don't want to get. I have a real tendency to gain weight easily. Mm-hmm. I know I have to exercise to keep my weight maintained.
Yeah. Which in turn affects, you know,
sure.
a healthy overall, how you perform, how you're going to react with your family, how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your job, how you...
I want my lower back to feel good.
Yeah.
75% of Americans complain of low back pain.
Yeah.
I want my lower back to feel good. I do exercises to support
More than
my lower
75%
back.
Of Americans have a desk-sitting job.
Sure.
Which is a whole.
Yeah,
we can have.
Right.
We should probably have a whole other podcast.
But
actually.
Why
we're gonna have another podcast?
Why do I get up and do it that early and do it consistently? Not only
because
do I do
on
it because
purpose.
I feel good, I do it because I know it's beneficial, and I want to keep for my family life. I want to be there for my daughters when they grow up. I want to be there for my wife, because I know I have family history of illness, and so those are the main reasons I do it for myself.
And there is a reason if you take that quote unquote inventory of your life. I'm talking to, you know, those 2.5 people that are listening right now.
2.5.
Somebody has a dog. There is a reason. There's something that you can make the choice to change for. There is something. Whether it's anything. I'm not going to go through the list again because we talked about it. We beat it to death. There is a reason. Take an inventory of your life. Write it down. Be obsessive about it for 30 days and make a change.
Sure.
And that's what it takes. Yeah. It might take an obsession for 30 days. And if it doesn't work for you, come talk to me. We'll talk about why it's not working. I don't know what else to say. There should be, if there was an explanation, one thing I could say to everybody, and it worked no matter what, I would say it. Everybody would know it. Everybody would do it. That's so cheesy, and there's been said 1,000 times before, but it's hard work. It's hard work, and it's dedication, and you have to do it.
Right. Absolutely.
I think that's it.
We're personal trainers.
I think that's it, man. A couple of meatheads sitting at the outside. All right, let's wrap this up. I will post some info at the very end of this on Michael Pollan a couple other things.
Check him out, Dr. Robert Lustig. And he'll post that as well, Dr. Robert Lustig. Michael Pollan. Are two people that if you could check out some podcasts or some TED Talks from these two guys.
Cool.
It talks a lot about cooking and culture, and it's more on the food end of things than on the exercise end of things. But again, our energy expenditure as Americans is way off. So if setting those things in the right direction really impacts our overall health as much as our exercise does. Mm-hmm. So, if you check out those two guys, they're awesome.
I'll check out.
I wish to meet them someday.
Write them an email.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I wrote Dr. Wayne L. Westcott an email?
Oh, did after I talked to you about
it? Yeah. He got back to me.
Shot back to you that day?
He did. No, not that day. It was a couple days. He's a busy guy. Yeah. Eric Feigl. Who's that guy? He doesn't know. But, anyway, okay. So, I'll post some stuff at the end. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I'm sure he'll hear about it at the gym anyway. But I hope this helps some people. I hope it maybe shifts some thoughts, different ways to help you get in the right perspective. So,
yeah.
Again, thanks, Ben. I appreciate it, man. Absolutely. Hang out for a little bit more.
Save the otters.
save the otters and the polar bear. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.